everything we do, you need to understand the actions that we do, they either bring God glory or disgrace. It's one or the other. We're either bringing God glory. If you're not bringing God glory, what are you bringing Him? Disgrace. So we should live to bring God glory. That doesn't mean that when we fall down, God says, oh! The disgrace and when you fall is wallowing in it. Staying down, knowing that He has already lifted you up. He's already made the provision for you to get back up and stand on your own two legs. He gives you brothers and sisters. Hey, I'm weak. Pray. I fell. Pray. By the way, you don't need to share your entire life with everybody. Just throwing that out there. There are some people that will manipulate you with that. There are things you just keep close to in certain people. But praise God that we can live for His glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe the glorious days of the church are still yet to come. Everybody's, oh, if I could just have the days of the early church, you know, the power that, you know, they believed that Peter's shadow healed. Well, they believed that. And maybe there were real healings. Don't know. I'm not going to argue with it. I know a woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. I believe the glorious days are yet to come. I believe we're going to see a church full of power. But you need to understand something. I'm not talking about churches that go out and, oh, we're just going to revivalize the entire world. That's a new made-up word. We're going to get the revival fire going. You have no idea what a real revival fire is. It's not rolling in the floor, running on the chairs, shouting and hallelujah and all that stuff. It's people turning their lives away from drugs, sex addiction, alcohol. It's people turning their lives over. My problem with revival is it focuses on the church all the time. It's always, why do we got to keep reviving the church? Is it that cancerous? That it's dying every 10 years? No, it is not. We're tired with the old thing, Jesus. We want the new thing. We're no better than the children of Israel. Well, Lord, we're tired of manna. We're tired of this. We want some meat now. Well, if they'd asked, if they would have asked. Does anybody remember seeing where they asked God for the meat? They went and they complained to Moses, we're tired of this, we need meat. Man, I don't know about you, but I've hunted birds before and they are not exactly, they don't fly knee level so you can hit them with a stick. They usually go straight up like a rocket. I'm just telling you folks, I believe we're in the most exciting times for the church. A church of power, but you need to understand, power means love. I don't care how many people you got attending your services. I don't care how many outreaches you got. If you do not have love, you have diddly squat. Just all there is to it. You can have the biggest church in the town. You can have the biggest parking lot. Throw a fair every year. I don't care. If it's not done in love, that's a great outreach and advertising opportunity. Show me in the Bible one time where Jesus said, go tell people what I did. I'll show you every time He said, don't go tell anybody what I did. There's the greatest advertisement. Tell people not to tell. Right? Didn't that always work with your kids? Now, this is something special between you and me right now. You know, I don't have the ability right now to take everybody to the Dairy Queen. This is special. Don't tell your sister. What's little Johnny do? Guess where I went? He goes and tells his sister. But you know why they came and followed Jesus? Because He had compassion on him. Compassion is a big, longer word for love. He had compassion on the people. That's where we have got to start being. We got to start having compassion. I understand there's evil in the world. Do not get me wrong. I'm not sitting up here, oh, he's just got his love goggles on, and he's so blinded to what's going on. No, I'm telling you, no, don't get focused on the sideshow freaks. That's what's happening. We're focusing on the sideshow freaks, and we're missing what God is trying to do because we're wrapped up. We're so full of hate. I read where one commentator said that George Floyd, the whole incident with George Floyd just has me so mad I'm speechless. Why? I get it. I know what has happened. My opinion is it's orchestrated. Way, I don't think the Marines could have got together that fast. But I'm here to tell you, don't get sidetracked with what's on the side. Look at what God is doing. And be a part of what God is doing, not what the devil is doing. There's the key. We'll talk about some of that maybe here in a little bit. But I just want you all to know, yeah, we're in some weird times. Church should never be the same. Our lives will never be the same. And I'm not accepting new norms. I've got enough norms in my life. I don't want norm. I want above norm. I want God. God is not the norm. And if you ain't paying attention to lately, he is not on the normal list. You worship God, you are on the out list. So let's remember that. And my grandson is letting me know, Grandpa, you need to shut up. I need to go play. Amen. All right, well, let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, for what you are doing in this earth, Lord, I pray that you move mightily now in your people and churches all across this world, Father, not just here, but Father, we pray for the entire globe where believers are meeting even right now before us and those that will meet after. Lord, we pray right now that you move in their midst. Show yourself powerful. Show yourself mighty. In Jesus' name, we bless this tithe. We bless the offering according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Get back, get behind here, and clean off my glasses. So last week, I was on a roll, and I only got partway on part of a scripture, and I needed to I want to finish that because this message actually ties in today with last week. But there was a part in Revelation 6. Let's see. And in verse 6, it says, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine. I did not finish the do not harm the oil and wine. I told you, we talked about how prices are just going up. There are things, it's like, why? Why is this going up? However, it says, do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, this is what actually started me on this entire line right here, was a friend of mine asked me this question. What does it really mean? And what I found in the margins of my notes is it says that it's not a total famine. Now, they say total famine, and I'm going to say it's a man-made famine because they're controlling the prices of things. The oil and wine represents luxuries. In other words, luxurious things are not going to be harmed. People living in a lap of luxury are going to be okay because it's there for them. Now, Pastor, I don't think we can, I'm not wealthy by any means. Well, join the club. However, I'm the child of a king who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What does that mean? That means I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's my inheritance. I always remind my boys of this when it comes to the house. I said, take care of this house. This is your inheritance. You'll be the first one in 3 generations that has left his children in my line an inheritance. We have got to remember that God is our Father. He's not going to let us starve. Oh, well, Pastor, I'm not eating filet mignon every other night. Well, you don't want to. You will be so sick of filet. Rotate. I ain't going to lie, I'm getting a little burned out on chicken. We've done a lot of chicken lately. But when it's smothered in Sweet Baby Ray's, well, that's all I can say. So, but in that part, we're talking about the luxurious things are not going to be touched. You're still going to see the jet setters flying around the world. You're still going to see Dubai becoming bigger and bigger and more luxurious and more. Do you realize, has anybody ever looked at anything about Dubai? It's a relatively young city. And the prince of Dubai set out. He said, I do not want just a big happening city. I want the best. You need to understand, their police cars are Bugattis. That's a $2.5 million to $3 million car. That's their police car. Lamborghinis, Ferraris. Time after time, I saw a video the other night of a guy bringing in this Ferrari California. I don't even know what was wrong with it, but they brought it in on a forklift in Dubai. You don't forklift Ferraris in my book. You put them on casters if they're broke down. You don't forklift. They didn't care because their junkyard was full of cars that went up to $1 million. They were left on the side of the highway. They break down, we go get a new one. We wreck it, we go get a new one. That's the kind of stuff you're probably going to see more and more of, even in this country. Well, that's just evil. No, not necessarily evil. Just because somebody's got money and they can afford to live a little nicer than what you do does not make them an evil person. Well, money's the root of all evil. It is a root. Let's keep the facts straight. It is a root of all evil. It is not the root. Adam and Eve did not fall because Satan was standing there with a $20 bill. I give you this 20, you take a bite, see what happens. It was pride. Which, by the way, pride is, in my opinion, is the exact opposite of love. The Bible teaches against pride, but always preaches for love. Pride seeks ourself, that's why. Christians are called to be loving for other people. We put ourselves on the behind everybody. Now, it's not saying that you can't take care of yourself. I mean, I always got to do this because I've come out of services and I'm like, people say, well, so you mean this, Pastor? I'm like, how did you come up with that, with what I just said? So I have to make everything marine proof, okay? That's what our commanders used to say. Okay, boys, I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to make this marine proof. In other words, I'm going to dumb this down so that we all get it. And well, you're calling me dumb. See? That went through somebody's head out there. I had one person said, don't talk to me like a dog. Well, quit acting like one. Quit going back to your vomit. Quit sitting around dragging your bottom across the yard. Get up and walk like a man. Quit acting like a dog. But anyhow, so, but in verse 1 and or 1 and 2, we learned about the white horse, the conqueror, is where this is going to go. He's been given authority to conquer. We talked about that. So I just wanted to refresh your mind there, but point out to you that the oil and wine, the luxuries, this is a totally made up famine. People are controlling the price because they can. That's all there is to it. So now, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And we are going to go to verse 27. It says, for he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us is making intercession because he knows the heart of the person and he knows the heart of God. So the Holy Spirit is trying hard to bring us into conformity to the will of God in our lives. Isn't that what we're all supposed to be doing, right? Seeking his will for our lives, not our own. And we know that all, here's what, in my opinion, one of the most perverted scriptures in the Bible. And when I say perverted, I mean twisted. People twist this all the time. They misquote it. When you quote a scripture, make sure you're quoting the whole thing. And we know that all things work together for good. That's where people stop. We know that all things work together for good. And to those who love God. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. To those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, if it's according to his will for your life, he will move it. He will work it out to your good. He will not let what he started, he's not going to let the devil come in and take and tear it up. Well, I just have such a hard time. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. You get knocked down, get back up. Well, I'm only on my knees. Well, that's a good place to start. You start on your knees and you get up. I think that's why we love the movies, the Rocky movies, so much. We see somebody who's outclassed, clearly, right? I mean, honestly, have you seen Dolph Lundgren? That man is huge compared to Sylvester. Hey, beautiful. My granddaughter's just staring at me. But he's always outclassed by whoever he's fighting. He gets beaten to a pulp. His eyeball hanging down where his chin is. And he still gets up. He continues to fight. That's the way we've got to be when the devil knocks us down. Well, I don't like getting knocked down. Well, then swing harder, baby. I will tell you one good lesson I learned in hand-to-hand combat. We were training in boot camp, and we were learning boxing. Now, you know, we'd had boxing gloves as kids, and we'd beat on each other from time to time. But it's a little different story when you're up against somebody, one, who's your size, two, who's a Golden Gloves champion. And that was my first sparring partner. He was from Miami, inner city kid who had boxed at the Y, and he knew how to box. Last name was Lisbon. They put a rope between us, like a rope's going to stop anybody. And we got up in there, and next thing I know, pop, pop! My legs are kind of wrapped around me. And when I say he literally knocked the snot out of me, I mean it. I stood up, he helped me up. I'm like, okay, lesson one. And he admitted to me afterwards, he said, I'm actually a Golden Gloves champion, so you didn't stand a chance. You think? So the next time we got to do it, one more time. The next time, I didn't go find somebody that looked like they had been at the YMCA. This dude was a chicken farmer. I'm going to pick my opponents real easy. Pop, pop. Why? And it wasn't me on the ground this time, it was him. Because I learned my lesson in the last time. Strike first, strike fast. And it worked. Now, well, Pastor, you're bragging. Oh, no, I didn't always end up on top of a pile in dog piles. I've been on the bottom a lot of times. But what I'm telling you is I learned a lesson from the first time I got beat. How do I want to get back up? Then got to get back up. By the way, I did help him up. We have got to remember the devil does not want to come play patty cakes with you and tiddlywinks. He wants to kill you. And I'm not talking just physically, I'm talking spiritually. He wants you in hell where he's going to end up at. He's not going to be down there with a pitchfork like the cartoons always show, pulling you back into the cauldron, and he's laughing. The devil's in as much torment as you will be if you do not receive Christ. Okay? And I'm going to throw this out there for people. Everybody like, well, if God loves people, why do people go to hell? God's heart is broken every time somebody goes to hell. He's not up there rejoicing, well, I didn't like Al Capone. No, his heart broke. And I don't know, maybe Al on his deathbed received Jesus. I don't know. I pray my grandfather did. It's all I can do. It's all I can do is hope. I know he had been told. But in the end, God didn't send anybody to hell. They chose to go. That's the sad part about it. You got two roads set before you. One looks fun. The other one, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to be on my knees serving. First off, you need to understand something. There's a total perversion of what heaven and hell are like. Nowhere have I read that heaven is, we are all sitting around. God don't need us sitting around his throne all the time. Anybody paid attention to Revelation? He's got creatures. He's got 24 elders who stand around day and night for eternity, singing, worthy, worthy, worthy. He needs us going out completing his will. And the biggest part of his will was a relationship. Now let's carry on. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, there he also glorified. Let me throw this out there. I've heard this message too, and I do not agree with the message of predestination. Some are predestined to go to hell, and some are predestined to heaven. That is hogwash. That's all that is. You washed a pig off, and you're now playing in the slop. God predestined everybody. It's the same opportunity for you as it was for Saddam Hussein or Adolf Hitler. The same opportunity. God did not predestine Hitler to be out doing what he was going to do. He knew what Hitler's heart was going to turn to because we're allowed this thing called free will. We're afraid of it. We want to be controlled. Free will is the most dangerous thing to a dictator. We have got to remember free will is what God brought us. He built us with it. We're not just rolling around, well, you know, whatever, God, roll this way with the boat, roll that way with the boat. Why are you rolling with the boat? You got two choices. You can control the boat or control the storm. Jesus controlled the storm. I think I want to be like Jesus because that's what this is going to be like. He says he also justified these. Go next, net, down to 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give you us these things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession. Folks, we're called to be like Christ. That's what the word Christian means. The word Christian in the last 40 years has really started taking on a negative context. Not everybody, but a lot of people, we went from one ditch to the other. You may not know this, but in road construction, there's this thing called a crown. You won't ever notice it if you ain't paying attention to the road. But I challenge you, next time you're at a good-made road, let me state that. There are some roads, I don't know who built them, but they need to quit. They just need to stop. They don't know what they're doing. But a proper road will have a crown in the middle, and the water will run off to each side to the ditches, where the water and all that other stuff goes, so you can drive on it without it being flooded. Well, the church, I believe, in my opinion, on what I have seen, what I've witnessed, what I've experienced, has gone from one side of that ditch clean to the other side, and now God's trying to pull us back to the middle of the road where all the garbage runs away from us. That's where Jesus was at. See, the Jews thought Jesus was going to come and pat him on the back. Oh, you're such a good little person. Look what you've done. I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure I remember Jesus coming back and saying, you den of vipers. He called them snakes. He didn't come back and pat them on the back. He called them a den of thieves and vipers. That's exactly what John the Baptist was doing. He was calling out the religious people and he said, you're of your father, the devil. He said, behold, the axe is laid to the root. It's being cut. In other words, you're not going to be the only tree. God's going to graft in a new vine in this. And you're going to have to go through that vine. Even Jews have to accept Jesus. Because if that's not true, then the Bible's a total bunk. Because it said there's only one way to heaven. Only one way to salvation. That's through Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ. If it's rules and regulations, psh. Yeah, 4 years in the military, I learned how to play with the rules and I learned how to play with the rules. Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. How much will that cop let me by with? How fast can I go? I was watching Family Feud last night, and this young girl, 16 years old, just got her license. Like a week before the show, she got her license. 3 days later, she got her first speeding ticket. You're going to get caught. They always get caught. That's what Steve told me. You always get caught. It took them 3 years to catch me. I knew how to play the rules. I'm not saying that's a good thing. But that's what happens when it's rules and not operating out of love. Not operating out of something that doesn't bend. See, love your neighbor as you do yourself and do unto others as you'd have done unto you doesn't bend. Because here's the truth. What goes around comes around. You sow bad seed, you reap bad seed. You sow good seed, you reap good seed. But don't think the devil's not going to try to bring bad seed to you. A bad harvest. He's going to try. Read the parable of the sower. We have got to be making sure that we're operating in God's love. Not out of a rule, but out of true compassion for people. Why did you do that? Well, I just wanted to. Sometimes it's just the right thing to do, right? There's a right thing and there's a wrong thing. And the right thing isn't always the most comfortable thing, as most of us have probably found out in life. But we are being changed. So once we start on this track of receiving Jesus Christ, we are now predestined to look like Christ. If you're following me, it's not saying you're guaranteed everything you're ever going to do is going to be Jesus-like. Nah, not likely. But in the end, I told you last week, we all die. Whether we die here and go 6 feet under, or we're taken and we're changed in an instant. In the twinkling of an eye, we go from corruptible to incorruptible. Boom. That is when we're all in the image of Christ. Okay? I get a little leery of people when they say, oh, I'm a perfect person. I learned 20 some years ago, almost 30 some years ago, that when people start telling me how holy they are, run. They are self-righteous, and they will only do what self wants. I ain't gonna lie, I missed the mark. Maybe a little wind got to me. Maybe something blew me off just a little bit. Maybe I let the circumstances of a situation cloud my judgment. You know, when you're on a rifle range, and you're shooting at a target. In the Marine Corps, we've qualified 200, 300, and 500 yards, all open sites. 200 yards, oh yeah, target's not too shabby. 300, well, it's getting a little, you know, the target got a little taller. It's 18 inches tall now. You know, it's that tall. And you go back to 500 yards, well, yeah, they gave us a bigger target. It's 3 foot tall, this tall. But when you're 500 yards back, that target looks like it's that big. I could hide it behind the front sight post of my rifle. When you're that far back, everything affects your round. The heat can start changing where that round starts impacting. The wind. I've been on rifle ranges when down at the target, the flag was pointing that way. Midway through, the halfway down, the flags are pointing the other direction. And where I'm at, the flag is dropped. That's what you get when you're on an island. You get some weird winds. So you have to learn, you have to make adjustments to our sights. And when you make those adjustments and you start dialing it in and you bring it in across, you'll start hitting bullseyes. And believe it or not, in my personal opinion, 500-yard shots are easier than two. Because we were laying down. The position changed. Everything changed. You have to adapt. Somebody tells me they shot offhand, which is standing up 500 yards, and they hit bullseye 10 out of 10. I'll pay for the bullets. I want to see this. Because you're doing this. 500 yards, you see the clouds moving. You start moving with the clouds. 200 yards, you can see the clouds moving. You start doing this. What happened in our faith? Okay, God, I'm going to hit that target. Jesus. Oh, I forgot about taxes are due. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's right. I need tires on the car. Whew. Oh, Jesus. You got to shoot. You've only got so much time. You got to shoot. Oh, Lord. Your target goes down. Target comes back up. Now, we had this thing. We got in trouble for it every time we did it, but we still did it. If it was a miss, we turned a white disc around, and we just passed over to tell them what the value was. It meant you missed. Well, Marines being Marines, we would bounce it up and down like, ha, 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 ha. But see, that's what happens when you let things get in front of what God has for you. You've got to learn to calm down and be peaceful. That's why I'm telling you, don't be caught up in the sideshows. Wrap your heart around the peace of God. Let Him wrap Himself around you. If your heart's wrapped around that and He's wrapped around your heart, what's going to get to you? Well, here, let's read and find out. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All this stuff we're worried about. We're standing here trying to hold steady on that target, and guess what happens? The more you focus on, oh man, I got to hold still, and you try to lock up and you tense up. Anybody that's ever shot a rifle for target purposes knows the second you start tensing up, you've actually created a bigger problem. Because now your heart's going to start affecting it. I know some of you have shot guns before distance. You ever paid attention when your heart really starts pumping? You start rocking. You start figuring it out. Our marksmanship training taught us there's a natural respiratory pause that when you exhale, your heart stops for just a brief second. That's when you squeeze that trigger gently. Target goes down, target comes up, big old white bullseye. Because we're not letting the trials, we're not letting the nakedness, the famine, the distress, we're not letting the stuff around us affect in here. You know, the only thing, when I was on Okinawa, the only thing, or any of the ranges, was a full-on typhoon or hurricane. You could be in a tropical storm, and it's awful. You got rain coming in sideways. You can't hardly see your target. But you now have to get rid of the fact that you've got water dripping off the bill of your cover, running down into your eyes. And you're laying there and you're soaked. You're miserable. And I qualified in February over there. And don't let people fool you. It gets cold in the South Pacific up towards Japan. So, but they made us do that because, well, we know wartime is always perfect weather, right? I mean, you know, it's always sunny and, you know, 75. And, you know, we get the afternoons off so we can have tea and crumpets. No, war, nighttime, hurricanes, typhoons, thunderstorms, monsoons. You guys in Vietnam, see them walk around. Most of the guys walking around, you see the pictures of them guys? Not all of them are actually walking in a swamp. They're walking on a trail at one time. That's how bad the water gets in some of those areas. They don't like walking around in that water any more than, I know, I've seen the snakes that come out of there. They're not tiny. For it is, as it is written, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now here, all this, folks, ladies and gentlemen, is where I wanted to get back to from Revelation 6. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Revelation 6:1 says the white horse is going to be released, and he who sits on it will be given authority to conquer. He's a conqueror. Before that was ever written, Paul said, you are more than that conqueror. The word conqueror is Nikeo. Remember, we got that from the word Nike, right? This word is hooper Nikeo. Super, above and beyond any trouble. Now, I grew up with the Superman cartoons and the movies. Superman was awesome. Right? Bulletproof. The only thing he had was kryptonite. That was it. And as long as he controlled where the kryptonite was at, he was good to go. But he could not be defeated without it. Ladies and gentlemen, what can separate you from Christ, from the love? Well, I'll tell you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I told you before, ladies and gentlemen, the people in hell are still with God's love. His love, he still loved them. He still loves them. And when they chose that route and they chose not to receive, it broke his heart. For the last 2 weeks, I've come in listening to my Pandora station. And it's about I told Justin, I said, this is weird. I haven't heard this song in years, and I mean like 15 to 20. And then all of a sudden, in 2 weeks, almost at the exact same spot on 42, on my way into church, this song comes on Pandora. And it's called Judas Kiss by Petra. Old song. Many of you were not born as I'm looking around. But the song says, I wonder what it's like for you when your children walk away. Or when they willingly disobey. It must be like Judas's kiss. The betrayal. How it broke God's heart. That's what it's like. The people that go to hell, they go on their own choice. God will never force you to serve him. He will never force you to love him, but he will always love you. And I know that people say, well, you know, the Bible, we read the Bible there, and the last tear will be wiped away. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that tear is from anybody but God. Don't give me all the mumbo gumbo poppy cock stuff. We're talking about serious Think about how it affects God. Think about how it affects you when you get in a disagreement with your children. Think about how that hurts. Now, know that you will never see them again. Ever. They're in hell, and they chose it. That's got to bring a tear to God.
Well, God doesn't shed a tear. I can show you twice where Jesus cried. I can show you a couple times where he got mad.
So yes, God has emotions. If he doesn't have emotions, why on earth did he give them to us? We could have done a whole lot better without emotions. We'd just be robots. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not one thing. Well, Jesus, I've done so much. Listen, I'm looking around here. Most of you, I know your status, we'll call it that, your afterlife status. Those of you at home, I'm challenging. Don't wait. Do not wait. I used to have this T-shirt that had the Grim Reaper on it. It says, those who wait till 10:30, or those who wait till the 11th hour die at 10:30. Don't wait. Eternity is forever. That's what this whole thing's about. Everybody's worried about, well, what about next year? What about school year? What about next planting season? What about the next ball season? What about this? You better focus on what's going on right now. I don't think the church has long. I don't think the earth has long. How quick did all this change? Just like that. He said in the twinkling of an eye, things, we change. I'm not going to get into the, definitely not today, but the seven churches that are spoken of in the book of Revelation. Do you ever wonder why God addressed them in the book of Revelation? That's about the end times? It's because this is where you'll start finding the church today. And I can look through there, and I've done it before. Maybe I'll do it again. I don't know, especially in light of what's going on. But I can show you how we have got to be careful. There were churches, they did great things. They thought they were smoking hot, but they allowed certain things in God. In. Well, look at us. We're rich. We don't need anything. I'd rather be poor and need God. God provides. Now, I'm going to go backtrack just a second here, and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I cannot tell you, folks, how many times that I personally have been trying to do something, trying to accomplish something, and nothing goes right. Anybody had one of those days? I know a couple people better get their hands up. I just had one. Let me tell you how. So Friday afternoon, I rent a skid loader. You can't miss the big pile of rocks in the driveway, can you? Anybody not see that big pile of rocks over there? You might start smelling them as the creek mud starts oozing out in the air. We bought that. That's going to be the landscaping over here between the over by the new door. It's going to have river rock. It's going to look like a natural riverbank. Well, I bought this little skid loader. I rented. Those things are as expensive as the big ones. You stand on it. You control one little hand over here and your bucket over here. And it can buck you off and just throw you if you're not careful. And so I thought, I better practice. I'm going to be up against the building. It's been a couple of years since I used this. So I got it off the trailer and I take it down. And I'm scooping up the stone that has gathered at the bottom of my driveway. And I'm starting to fill the potholes in up my driveway. And I go to turn around and the thing won't go but in one direction. I'm like, that should be just spinning me around right here. So I went to move it again, and I got it moving one way, and then all of a sudden, whoop, there went the track. The track ripped in half. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was going to go to the church after dinner and clear out some of that topsoil so it wasn't so high. I'm like, well, now, none of that, it's sitting in the middle of my driveway. Nobody can get in or out. Well, Jesse and Justin and I, we got it all figured out, and we got it off to the side of the driveway, and they said they'd come up and pick it up in the morning. And when they got there, we had to have the skid loader that the guy was picked up on his way around and to get it out of the soft gravel. Got it turned around. When he went to load the skid loader that he had just loaded, it started shutting off in the middle of my driveway. Long story short, there is still a Bobcat skid loader sitting in my driveway. I'm like, God, what? I'm not for certain where I'm missing this yet, but I'm just going to stop for a minute, regroup, figure out what it is, where I'm missing, where I missed the turn to Albuquerque. Y'all, I must have missed the turn at Albuquerque because, man, something's wrong. There have been days like that. I don't know, maybe it's God trying to tell me, hey, you missed something. Backtrack. And I will tell you from experience, ladies and gentlemen, if things are fighting you like that, backtrack. What was the last thing God told you to do that you know he told you to do, and you aren't doing it? Go back to there and do it. And then watch how quickly things go. Oh, Pastor, I can turn right here. I can make a left up here. I needed to go right. You all heard the term, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do. Keep turning left, but by the way, don't just turn right, because not every right, the whole New Mexico reference, in my opinion, is awesome, because they ain't roads like there is here. You can't just turn right and go that way and run into another state route. It don't work that way. You got to turn around, go back to Albuquerque, turn where you're supposed to turn, and go. We miss so much in life because we want to do it our way. Now, if you're so far beyond and God says, hey, turn right here, boom, he'll get you back on track. But I'm telling you what, you missed something in between here. In your either you were so busy thinking about, oh God, oh the heat, whew, that rain's getting me. You know, the only thing that really affects, I mean, long, long shots, the heat will affect it. But the 500-yard shots, you know, the only thing they told us would really affect that wind, and even though, I just told you, that round was the wind. Everything else affects the shooter. Now, if you're taking a mile-long shot, oh, you got to take everything in consideration. That's why there's only a few people in the world that do those. But we didn't have to at 500 yards. The only thing that got affected other than the wind, and we made adjustments for that, was us. I'm uncomfortable. I'm hot. You need to understand, we had to qualify most times with our sleeves down in the summer. Got our cover on. You couldn't lay out there with a little shady umbrella over top of you or anything. At least at Parris Island, and all of them, all the Marine Corps ranges, you're just in the wide open, baking, sweating. You're miserable. Anybody felt like that in your faith? God, I don't want to do it without raising my shirt up too far. I've been there. The only thing going to affect your decisions is you. The situations around you cannot affect you if you are wrapping yourself into God's love. Hiding yourself in the shadow of his wings, as according to Psalm 91. Get back to where he told you what it was you're supposed to do. I have a friend who's a businessman. He prays, God, do we do something with this, or do we just let it pass? That's the smartest thing you can do. Pray. Well, it's such a good opportunity, I can't pass it up. Years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I came to this decision. I'd go into Lowe's and I'd find some serious markdown stuff. I thought, I can use that someday. Well, as I donated that stuff to a Habitat or Salvation Army, or sold, tried to sell it in a garage sale, or it just ended up in a landfill, I realized not every smoking deal is for me. I don't need it. Walk away. But I will also tell you there have been times my heart's desire, I was wanting something. Like the couple, about a month or so ago, they got this little thing. It's a wire, it's a brush for cleaning old wood. Now the brush itself is expensive. The motor stuff is like $100 and $120, something like that, for the item itself. But it'll also use sandpaper, but it's the brush, because I use a lot of old wood. And if you've never cleaned old wood, you're in for a treat. I was in the store and I walked over. They don't carry this on the shelf. There was one of those tools for $25. You don't have to ask. It's on my shelf. $25, folks. I hadn't even asked God for it. My point is, when you're in the will of God, He will work things to good. The devil's going to come at you no matter what. He throws things to try. No matter what happens, nothing's going to separate you. Whether you fail, it's not going to separate you. That's what Paul was trying to explain. So many people have gotten on the bandwagon of, you just got to, you know, if you fall, you forget God ever doing anything for you. Then why did Jesus come? Why? So this week, here's your challenge. Turn off, get your news, turn it off, and don't let it be your focus. Don't let it be your focus. I promise you, every day something's going to be coming up and changing. If you didn't pay attention to last week, or the week before, there was always something. There's always one more angle, one more conspiracy theory. Well, Pastor, I believe that this is what's happening. Yeah, that's all fine and good. Don't get caught up in it. Love people. Help them when you can help them. Pray for them. We have lots of prayer people. Hey, I need prayer. We need prayer. We've got to pray for people. If you don't believe in the power of prayer, what do you believe in? Because I'm here to tell you, God moves. God opens doors. He closes doors. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your toes are in that door that He didn't want you going through, He will shut the door on your toes. And don't try to force something open that He shut. I used to tell people, and I still will, just step back. If there's a window, you can see what's going on. Look and see why God kept you out of it. I told somebody, he said, well, when God closes a door, look for a window. I'm not a thief. I don't crawl through a window. I said, that's not the point. That's the first thing that went through your mind. Obviously, you are a thief. Windows aren't for crawling through. If they'd have been made for crawling through, they'd have been about 7 foot tall and about 2 foot wide. And they just go, whoop. Windows are for looking through. Watch and see what happens. Why did God? Well, it looks like everything's working out great for everybody over there. Well, right now, 2 years later, the people ain't even talking to each other. It went, poof. So that's your challenge. Don't get caught up in the sideshows. Wrap yourself up in the love of God and make sure that other people are experiencing it through you. That's why we're called here. Not just to take up space. If that's the case, send me to space, Jesus. I mean, I'll be weightless. I'd like that. Don't think that God can't do anything with you. All you got to do is repent. Say, God, okay, I missed you. I'm going right here. Sometimes we try to push our own will. Well, we want this, we want this, we want this. And God is resisting. He said he resists the proud. Why? When we're proud, we do what we want to do. That's why I said Adam and Eve were operating in pride, not love. There's a couple of you, I can kind of see your wheel spin. Well, I thought it was because they took what was God's. Yeah, out of pride. You're operating in one of two things, pride or love. Pride is always self-serving. We're not talking the pride that the military has. We're talking about self-conceit. I'm okay. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go here at such and such a time, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Paul said, don't say that. Say, if the Lord wills. I've heard so many preachers say, well, bless God, this is what I declare we're going to do. What if God says, change your plans, Jack? Then what? I'm going to tell you right now, every preacher you've ever seen on TV, I don't care what platform they've been, don't put them on platforms, please. Don't put me on a platform. The pedestal falls and it hurts. They're men of God. They're no better than you. Now, you do need to respect true anointing. I will tell you that. We're in the days of Elijah. And it ain't just days of Elijah, dry bones becoming his flesh. It's called days of Elijah. Elijah calls down fire from heaven and consumes the guards of King Ahab. You think we forgot about that one? We all, oh yeah, we're called down fire against the prophets of Baal. He took out the guards too. They came finally the third time around, and the dude said, please don't kill us. I read that the other day. He's like, please don't smite us. Please. And then God said, all right, go with them. That was the smartest guard on the planet. These are the days of Elijah. The days before Jesus returns will be as the days of Elijah. Elijah must precede Jesus. We're in them. John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah in his day. I believe that the two prophets, one will be Elijah, the other will be Enoch. That's not yet. The spirit of Elijah, though, is here. Why? Because it's operating through me and every other preacher that says, hey, get yourselves right with Jesus. That's what they did. By the way, you know what Enoch did? We don't know a whole lot about Enoch until you read the book of Enoch. He told people to repent. He was taken up just before the ark was closed. He preached. Noah wasn't the only preacher of righteousness. Enoch was too. Well, the book of Genesis doesn't say it, and I don't believe it. Okay, well, the book of Genesis doesn't record that, the moon or the star, or I'll get it out, the sun is a ball of gas. Do you believe that? I personally want to know how it keeps burning. I want that kind of power to heat my house. It's always there. I don't know. There's a lot of things the book of Genesis doesn't mention, but Enoch was the spirit of Elijah before the ark. Think about it. Anyhow, let's stand. You're going to be tempted this week to let everything come in. Listen, when you hear news reports, Facebook is a good thing to have. It can be a bad thing to have too, if you can't get off of it. If you see a missing child report or missing person, pray. Pray. Okay? If you hear a report of this or that happening, I don't care who put the report on Facebook, the Christian or so-called conservative news reports will pull the thing out, the narrative they want you to see to get you wound up to read it. And you read it and you're like, I'm not for certain I understood how that had anything to do with each other. But take the time to pray. Get off of that. Right here, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Get in there now. I've told you when you're newly saved, get in there and you start reading John. John understood about love. But Matthew talked the most of what Jesus was talking about, the end times. Oh, then I'm going to jump to Revelation, right? Please be careful. Please. I don't want you going off half-cocked. You're dangerous that way. And I'm not saying I fully understand everything in Revelation. I believe there's some people got some good ideas on what's going on, but what I've known of God is he doesn't always do what we think we figured out. Y'all figured that out yet? God's ways are not my ways. I know. I would do it this way, this way, this way, this way. You can ask Angela. I say, this is how God's going to do it. Boom, 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 boom. God hadn't. He didn't go boom, 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 boom. He went boom. Okay. That happened real quick. You're standing in something that went boom. Which gets paid off in through November. This building is paid off in November. Praise God. And to that, I do want to thank everybody for continuing to support the ministry. We were able to pay the bills. Building still had to be heated, unfortunately, during that time, because otherwise we'd be repairing all the cracks in the drywall. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't enjoy it that much. So there's a lot of stuff that we can be grateful for, but God has continued to provide, and we'll just take each day as it comes. Amen? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful, Lord, for your word, Father, that you spoke to us and had your men and women of God to write it down. Father, I thank you that they wrote down things that we can follow. Lord, I pray that you help us all not to be consumed with trying to figure everything out. But Father, we learn to just live in the moment. We learn to enjoy the victories. Father, we learn to trust you right then, not I'm going to trust him tomorrow. And now, Father, first off, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, anybody watching this at home. Lord, I pray for right now that you will move. If they don't know you, that their hearts will be moved and they will humble themselves and receive you once and for all. Father, if they need a rededication, Lord, it's simple. Father, I give you my life. Do with it what you can. It's that simple. I receive what Jesus did. And now, Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord, I bless them. Father, I pray that as they go out this week, Father, no matter what's happening to the left hand or the right hand, Father, their focus will be on you. Father, their focus will be on your love, Father. As a matter of fact, your word will be on the tip of their tongue. Father, that when the devil comes in like a flood, Lord God, you will raise up the standard and you will protect them. Father, you will deflect the flood. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.